not life, but your life. What were you designed for? What is the your purpose? And sometimes they're not ready to give an answer, but it plants a seed. Is it to get the most money? It could be. And a lot of times we don't even know. You plant it. What is the purpose of your life? And we look at this, and it's a difficult question because a lot of times we think we know what our purpose is. Satisfaction, right? As soon as I get that new toy, the new car, I'll be satisfied. But what happens with a lot of those things once we get them? The satisfaction disappears, doesn't it? It's the same thing with relationships. When you guys start dating, oh, I can, here's the forbidden fruit. Here's somebody who's ignoring you. For some reason, those are the ones you're going to want. That doesn't make sense. It's like forbidden fruit. But you feel like as soon as I get to meet Mrs. Right or Mr. Wrong or whatever they are, then I'll be satisfied. And I'm proof of that too. And then after you get that relationship, guess what happens? It's a bucket with holes in it. There's no satisfaction. So even when you ask people, what's the purpose of your life? They'll sit there and they might not think of those, but you can help them with that. It's called buyer's remorse. But what is their purpose? What is your purpose? What was I designed for that nobody else can do? And Shaq, the basketball player, said something in a Reader's Digest once, said, this was years and years ago, it is a parent's job to help the child discover the gifts that Yahweh has given them. And to teach him to recognize them and to find a way to glorify Yahweh and Jesus Christ by utilizing them to their glory. What is your gift? What is your special talent? What is this thing you have? And then how do I utilize it to give it right back to him? And that was Shaq, a basketball player. I was like, that was very deep. Page 230, Deuteronomy chapter 15. It's chapter 30, verse 15. And before I go on there, I'm going to skip a little bit of my notes. Are there any Christians today that have a horrible life, full of cursings and bad things, and they're confused why their life is so horrible?
Yeah.
And you look at me and go, man, here's somebody living on a street. Are you seeing somebody that doesn't get any breaks? At least it didn't appear. You kids might not. When we get an adult, you'll see somebody like, wow. Why is that happening to their life? Well, we don't necessarily know. But we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. A lot of times when people say, why does this happen or why does that happen? You say, did you read the material? Have you read the book of Deuteronomy? No. Then you're not going to find out. See you later. Jesus Christ would do other parables too. Do you want to know? Yeah, read the book of Deuteronomy. I'm not going to read a whole book of Deuteronomy. Then you won't know. But Yahweh's given all the examples and all the reasons for why things are happening, for the most part, in this book. Almost an explanation for everything is in here. It's our whole complete manual. If you were taking arithmetic 1 or algebra or spelling, the whole book is complete. And if you're going through it and you found out there's 3 chapters missing, you'd be appalled, right? This book is garbage. Well, this book is perfect and it's complete. And the good news is the author's in the room and he's inside of us. Chapter 15. Here's Yahweh. See, I've set before thee today life and prosperity and death and calamity. There's a fork in the road. For thou must keep the commandments of Yahweh thy Elohim, which I am commanding thee today, to love Yahweh thy Elohim, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his regulations. So shalt thou live and multiply, and Yahweh thy Elohim will bless thee in the land which thou art entering into. There's a fork on the road. Life and prosperity, death and calamity. Whose choice is it? It's yours. And if you've never read Deuteronomy 30 or Deuteronomy 28, whose fault is it? I went to Rome once. We rented a car. I ran a red light. A police officer tried to pull me over. I didn't know how to pull over. It was crazy. I felt like I was in a Bourne Identity. And for a second there, I thought my ignorance was going to get me out of this. Ignorance is not... the grace of that police officer let me off. If somebody comes here to the United States and says, well, I didn't know you couldn't drink and drive. We could drink and drive back in Australia. You're still going to jail. What? I didn't know. It is your job to find out what the requirements are. Here's Deuteronomy says, there's a fork on the road. Are Christians choosing the cursings And then are Christians choosing the cursings and death? And then they curse Yahweh for the results of their life. Yeah, absolutely. Why is this happening to me? What are you doing? You're in control. And why isn't he saying anything? He already says something in Deuteronomy 30 and Deuteronomy 28. Blessings and cursings. So you can look at it. You can look at Christians. You go, what's wrong with that person? You go, is that Christian choosing the cursings of Yahweh? Does that even sound right? It should be. Do you choose the blessings or the cursings? You can see some people, you can look at their life, they choose the cursings almost all the time. But each one of us, we choose the blessings and the cursings too. When we disobey, it's death. What's the wages of sin?
Death.
And so, let me go down to verse 17. But, if you don't choose the right path, he's not going to force you to do it. You sit there, nobody's looking, nobody's watching, nobody's going to know if you steal that, or you eat that cookie, or you take that dollar, or you see some money on the ground, or whatever it is, I was putting in my pocket. Nobody needs to know, that's what we think. And there's a neat pastor, he said once, he goes, hey, reality check, nobody's ever gotten away with anything. You're going to meet Jesus Christ. You're going to watch the film in front of him. And he's not going to go, oh, man, oh, well, that makes sense. No, it's not going to work. and I believe it's going to be, then he'll highlight it. And then we'll be forgiven, we'll still be saved, but he's going to see all this stuff we did, we missed it. And then if we mess up, what's 1 John 1:9?
Confess your sins.
He's faithful. If we are confessing our sins, it's so important with the Rotherham. King James, I believe, says confess your sins. If we confess our sins. Now, Rotherham said, if we're confessing our sins, then we will have light with him.
Yeah.
And guess what happens with Yahweh? We confess our sins. He goes, get back over here. Puts your back on the lap. Takes the belt off. Or he put the belt back on. Come over here. I didn't want to whoop you anyways. Verse 17. But if thy heart shall turn away. Now, what's real important here? Before we go into this. Now, this is for the kids. And it's for the adults, too. Just the adults here are very, very mature in the Word and Scriptures. What fake gods do American Christians have? American Christians think they only have one God.
Oh,
it's
Holy Spirit.
Mary.
A God is just something you go to that's going to provide you protection, power, fear, or power, whatever. In East Africa, they have witch doctors. That's very weird for us, for a witch doctor, right? Kind of creepy. When I asked him, I said, what is a witch doctor? Why would anybody go to a witch doctor? He goes, well, if you want to get money, you pay them, they'll give you something. If you want to curse your ex-wife, they'll do a little thing here. That's like voodoo. And if you want to have babies, they'll do something. I said, so it's power. They go, yeah, it's power. Oh. Do you know what our fake God is here in the United States? Government. You say, don't talk about fake gods and other nations with, like, in Mexico, it'd be Aztecs. Or, we got it right here. Who's your sufficiency? Is it your Social Security? Is it your child support? Is it your unemployment? Yeah, but for a lot of us. And then if it's not that, then it's going to be your job could be. And so that we look at that, and Yahweh's going to go, who's your sufficiency? Because if your government says you have to vote for a Democrat who supports sodomy, partial birth abortion, what's the 10th commandment? Anyone?
Shall not commit.
That's close. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If you're stealing from somebody to give to somebody else, is that loving your neighbors yourself? The Democrats do that. But if you want your money from the Democrats, you got to vote for them. So what are you doing? What does Yahweh say? Covet not thy neighbor's goods. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? Thou shalt not steal. And if I got to break the Ten Commandments, what am I doing? I'm bowing down to another god. And just because government goes, we're not a god. You know what? They said the same thing about the golden calf. Did Aaron say this is another god?
No.
He goes, this is a festival to Yahweh. He got their image. Same thing. No, we're not a god. No. We're just government. We help God. No, you don't. You fight God. But so that now we're going to read about other gods. This is where we can help other Christians. You say, does your Christian, you talk to Cooper and say, what foreign gods do you have in your house? What? Well, who's the God of your family? Well, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, that's all I know. Okay, so the God of Jesus Christ, His Father is your God, right? What other gods you got in your house? What are you talking about? Well, they got Buddhas. We don't got any of that. Well, how about government? If they say, no, government's not my sufficiency, then you go, amen. They chose what? the blessings, the right hand. Then there's a left hand. That's the spanking hand. But if thy heart turn away, verse 17, and thou wilt not hearken, but shall be drawn away, and shall bow thyself down to other gods. Why would you go to other gods? They'll give you what you want. Do you know what these other gods will do? Hey, that guy's got a nice bike. Yeah, I really like that bike, but I don't have the money. Well, I tell you what, this guy's a jerk. He stole that bike. Oh, yeah, he stole it. He stole this and that. His dad's a drug dealer. Really? He vilifies the person he's going to steal from. The Democrats are great for this. Global warming, with evil empires and companies. And the Democrats and global warming, what they'll do is they always attack somebody with a lot of money. Isn't that funny? What a coincidence. It's big businesses with lots of money they go after. And why do people let them do it? They're going to get money. So why would people go after other gods? You're going to get things. And a lot of times it's going to be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And all of us do it. I do it too, and I got to repent and say, no. But if you do, let me see here, shall bow down thyself to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that ye shall perish. Ye shall not prolong your days upon the soil which thou art passing over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call to witness against you today the heavens and the earth, that life and death have I set before thee, the blessings and the curse. Therefore should thou choose life, that thou mayest live, that thou and thy seed. The difference between a video game and a cat is a cat chooses to come and love on you. It makes a choice. There's a relationship. A video game's fun, but there's no relationship. A puppy, your guy's dog, it chose, and even when it messed up, it was like, oh, your big lab, you messed up, right? You get over here. He chooses to be around you. Yahweh gives us choices. He wants a relationship. And this is something we get to choose every single day. Do you choose life and the blessings? Or do you choose death and the cursings? And this is where we should help each other. Then when somebody's sinning, going, you're choosing the cursings of Yahweh. That didn't sound very good. You go, I hope you turn. So Dad and I got threatened today with something. If we didn't bow down to a words that aren't even in the Bible, then we can't come back to some meetings. I'm not going to bow. No. You're going to threaten me? Wow. Because you will be held accountable when you go to Jesus Christ when there's words you're using to threaten me. Just the same way people threaten Moses. They're going to kill Moses again. Remember, Moses wasn't voted in. There wasn't an election. Actually, he was voted in. He got one. He got the big vote. Yahweh. They wanted to kill the guy. Give us an image! We had cucumbers in Egypt! And they're going to kill him again. Moses is like, oh my goodness. And Moses, if you read about it, Moses isn't even thinking about himself. He's going, Yahweh, what are you going to do with these people? And that's what we should do when somebody's going to persecute you for righteousness. They say, if you don't do this, if you don't pray to Mary, If you don't say God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, you know, that's not in the Bible ever, not once. I saw somebody at the gym. He's talking about, man, these new churches, it's all about oneness doctrine, this oneness doctrine. I can't believe this. And I was listening to that oneness doctrine, huh? Yeah, what's wrong with oneness doctrine? He goes, well, oneness doctrine, it confronts the Trinity. And I go, wow. The Trinity and the oneness doctrine, they're going at it. He goes, oh, yeah, man, it's like a war. I said, I have an idea. I can solve it real quick. He goes, really? Oh, yeah. How about we just use words that are in the Bible? He goes, what's that mean? There's no oneness in here. There's no Trinity in here. He goes, there's no Trinity? I said, I'll give you $5,000. There's no Trinity. So why don't we just change our words, but bowing down. A lot of times we bow down to God. If it's not for us, it's because we're going to be pressured in because we don't want to lose our friends or our family. Jesus Christ had that in John 6:66, chapter 6, verse 66. People left. Why? Because he was being obedient. He was teaching Yahweh's word. They didn't understand it, and they ditched him, in my opinion. And Jesus Christ looked at the disciples and said, are you guys going to leave too? And Peter said, where will we go? That's what we should say. When people are threatening to ditch us, Aaron, are you going to keep doing what you're doing? Yeah, and so the threat that came to Dad and I is, if you still come to our meetings, you can't prophesy. What's the scripture say? Is there a scripture that's against what they just said? Tell me it.
Covet.
1 Corinthians 14, verse 39. Covet to prophesy. There's one scripture they just broke. Here's another one. Thessalonians 5. You ever heard of this? Anybody know this one? 1 Thessalonians 5, 7, I think it's 6 through 7. Quench not the Spirit. Do not forbid prophesying, or prophesying do not despise. They just broke two of his commandments and threw us out. And we sit there and we're like, holy moly, unless we bow down. Oh. And we're going to go, I can have company with a bunch of dead people who are cowards, or I can have company with Yahweh and Yehoshua. Boy, you made that really clear. All right. What's it? Knock the dust off? And then go, let's Matthew 5:10. We'll be rewarded great for that. Going, Yehoshua, it's not my deal. Where are we going to go? But that was another one. Another one, you're going to be bowed. You're not in this group if you don't do what we say. See here, where did I stop? All right, in verse 19, verse 20, to love Yahweh thy Elohim, to hearken unto his voice, to cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, and thou mayest abide upon the soil which Yahweh swore to his fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give these. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first his reign, is actually the word reign, his kingdom is reign, and his righteousness, and then all these will be added unto you. If you lose friends for sticking close to Yahweh, he will reward you with better friends. Nothing can be taken that he can't replace tenfold. Make sense? And if somebody's going to ditch you and you're going to lose a friendship or a relationship, then you must say, we were just at a pastor's lunch and the guy got up, he goes, there's only two reasons for a divorce. This is a pastor. And he's quoting the Gospels. There are just two reasons for divorce in the Bible. Read 1 Corinthians 5. If a wife departs, let her depart. Did you ever read 1 Corinthians 5? No, he didn't. So here he goes out there again. You'll say, but anyways, we can go with the scriptures. Yahweh, did Yahweh say it? No, he didn't say it. Okay, we'll feel sorry for him. Are Christians choosing the cursings? A lot of times we see bad things happen. We can look at it and go, I think you're choosing the cursings. Or in our own lives during the day, if one thing goes wrong, another thing goes wrong, and another thing goes wrong, or in my situation, one person's a jerk. An hour later, they're a jerk. 2 hours later, now everybody's a jerk today. And all of a sudden, well, maybe you're the jerk. Maybe you're going the wrong way. And oh, maybe it is me. The shoe fits. The idea is you could be choosing the cursings. If you're walking in light and fellowship with him as he's in the light, 1 John, there's going to be difficult times, but you will always have the peace of Christ, which guards your hearts and your thoughts. So if you're going through tribulation and you have peace guarding your hearts and your thoughts, rejoice. That's how Peter and Paul and Silas, during their tribulation, could rejoice. If you didn't have peace, have you ever had dread? Oh boy, you're busted. That thought goes through your head and you're laying in bed. Oh boy, that thought. Have you ever had that? All of us have. What are you going to do now? And you're going, who's talking to me? It happens to all of us. Ooh, you're busted now. Mom comes home. She knows. She knows. Who is that voice inside you? And what's going on with that? That's your adversary. He's the same one talking into doing dumb things, and then he uses it like the mafia to go, ooh. Anyways, Christians are choosing the death. What's now we're going to go to paradise. So choices. What are our choices each day? Yahweh gives us choices. This life is about choices. Why are things the way they are? Choices. I heard somebody said, you know, everything happens for a reason. And the response was, yeah, sometimes it's because of the reason you make bad choices or you're dumb. And it was a joke. It's true.
Yeah.
That response is, you can say, what are your choices? Are you choosing the cursings of Yahweh? And a lot of people, they're not going to think about it. And you could say, does Jesus Christ represent Yahweh? Yeah. Did Jesus Christ say, I only do what my Father said, and I always say what my Father said? Yeah. Could you possibly say the cursings of Jesus Christ? Yeah, that just doesn't sound right, though. You can point these things out. Do you want the cursings of Yahweh on you and your house? Will you bring a devoted thing into your house, pornography? I think nobody notices. You're worried about the China people looking at your stuff on your phone. There's somebody right behind you going, uh-huh, yep, got that one. There's a history on it. So the idea is if we do mess up, get down on your knees. I'm sorry. I confess my sins. And I got an old man I need to kill. And he whooped me again. But I'm going to kick his butt. I'm not going to do this. And guess what happens? He starts cleaning and resolving everything. So if you guys do sin, get it out of your house. Take your sin into the backyard and say, you don't want to bring something inside your house. You have a family members, right? What if you brought sin into your parents' house and she has nightmares the whole night that somebody's trying to murder her, cutting her legs off? because demonic influences got brought into that house because what you were doing in the backyard. Can you imagine? Now, just get a visual of a little girl being some scary murder coming after her, and she wakes up, what's going on, or something like that. That's what we do. There's accountability, especially when we live together. What are you bringing into the house? And then if you do, you confess your sins. You say, Father, I thank you for peace in this house. And if there is anything in this house, we just rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. And guess what happens? Fook! Peaceful sleep. What is a man's idea of paradise? Man's idea. If I'm the king, ha ha. So if you had to imagine who's a king? Here's the ruler of the universe. What would his job be? Just get a mind picture. Is he mowing lawns? Taking out trash? Running a lot? Running errands? What would he be doing?
Sitting on the throne.
Pow! Give me a... Yeah. Sitting on the throne. All of us have that same idea. That's what Yahweh does. That's what gods do. They just sit around. They get worship. Ha ha! Go do stuff, peasants. We have this idea that a god, what his job is, he sits. He doesn't do anything. What else do you have in your mind? What is an idea of paradise? Let me ask you this. Is paradise a 60-hour work week? Is paradise school with no summer breaks? No? What would paradise be? No school, right? Or no work, right? Who came up with that? And a lot of times you don't have to be taught that. And you go around the world with all these false religions and stuff, and almost everybody's got the same conclusion. That's what a God's job is, and this is what paradise is. We're going to take a look at those ideas. Turn to Genesis, page 35. We're going to reconcile what is the job of an Elohim. What does he do? And we're going to say, and what is paradise going to be like? Was there anything better than the Garden of Eden? It's called the Garden of Delights before the fall of man. So there will be, but man has never been in anything like that since. So this is perfect. Perfect means you can't add anything, you can't remove anything. So let's go look at a perfect environment. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, and we're going to read 26, and we're going to evaluate a paradise. It doesn't call it paradise, it's the Garden of Eden, but and we're going to compare it to our own images of what paradise is. Verse 26, would somebody please read that?
I will. And Yahweh said, let us make a man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the bird of the heavens.
That's good right there. So he's going to let them have dominion over everything else. We don't have a problem with that, do we? We're made in man. Whose image?
Yahweh's
image. And here it's Elohim. And so in English, we don't have the right word. Our word God does not communicate what Elohim is. So Elohim made man in whose image? Yes. Elohim. Right? Okay. If a donkey has a baby, what is his baby? It's a donkey. If a coyote has a baby, what is it?
Coyote.
A coyote. Romans calls us sons of what? It'd be Elohim. It says God, but we're sons of Elohim. What? Okay, so what are we looking at here? And at the beginning, do we have any problem with that? What's their job? Ha ha! Down, you donkeys! Out of the way, elephants! You're ordering! We're sitting in the throne. No problems, no conflicts yet. Verse 27, and Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he them. Male and female created them. And God blessed them. Elohim blessed them. And Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. How big is our earth now? Pretty big. What are we supposed to do? I don't know. Make a canoe? There's a really big ocean over here. Yeah, fill it. Does that work? Yeah. And have dominion. So we say, have an idea of the Garden of Eden is going to be this nice garden, everything's groomed. And it doesn't say that. 6 days shall a man work. And so at the beginning, all of a sudden, what's man's job? Get to work. That doesn't sound like paradise, does it? You can't say, excuse me, O Elohim, I'm in your image. What vacation time do I got? We talk about holidays, right? Which y'all are going to heal. You, go make some babies. I want grandkids. What does that mean? A husband and wife are going to have to get along. Ah! But mom and dad's always get along, though, right? No, that's a lot of work. Eve's crazy. He's crazy. Whatever. I don't know. It's paradise. It doesn't mean there's not conflict. But first thing is work. Then we'll turn over to. So it's going to require a lot of work. Subdue the earth in verse 28. He's going to say, subdue the earth. Let's see. Fill the earth. Subdue the earth. Have dominion over the fish. The donkeys and the elephants aren't listening. Well, go move them. Charles Capp said it once. He goes, "How would a man, Adam and Eve, have dominion over a whale or an elephant? The same way you have with Mark 11:22-24. Your word. You always said light be and light was. So that's how they would have done it. Would that require a lot of work? Do you think the elephants wanted to obey all the time?
Yep.
You can see here, okay, even a good dog's going to disobey. That's a lot of work. And we're getting here works. And over the birds and every living thing. He's going to have to name all these things. Is that easy? You got to name everything. You know how long that line is? Holy moly! All right, Eve, I'm clocking out. It's your turn. That's work again, isn't it? And we'll turn over here, chapter 2, verse 15. Let's see if this looks like paradise to man. Melania, will you read verse 15 and 16? Chapter 2, 15 and 16. And remember, nothing's broke yet. This is the perfect.
So Yahweh, Elohim, took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it.
Yikes! You ever seen somebody working in a garden? Sweating? Getting dirty? Shovels breaking? What in the world? These weeds? Does that work? Is that our image of a god? A farmer? No, that's not an Elohim. No, an Elohim's got a nice chair. Ha ha! He's got a little scepter or whatever. This is the image of an Elohim. And this is, guess what else this is? It's the purpose. This is what Adam and Eve were designed for and the relationship. And everything's fine until we get to chapter 3. And I bet you, and this is my own speculation, that Adam and Eve, now they didn't have our sin nature, we inherited from them. But I bet you that they were looking at some of this stuff too. Can you see Yahweh all the time? No. Do you get to see what he's doing? No. Did they get to see Yahweh all the time? He did walk with them in the cool of the day. It might have appeared he's not doing anything. Where did he go? He abandoned us on this planet. Now we got to get this whole thing. Eve, get to work. You go find out how to make boats. I got to go find out how to make an elephant collar. And here's all this work and work and work. And we get here and everything's kind of fine. All this work until we get to chapter 3. We get to chapter 3. And the serpent was more crafty than any living thing of the field that Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, can it really be that Elohim hath said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? It could be that Adam and Eve are already having a conflict in thinking. This is work. A lot of work. And they're sitting here and going, it could be that Adam and Eve were thinking the same thing as us. I should be in a throne somewhere. They should just go do the... I should be eating grapes. Eve, grape me. Come bring the grapes. Have some fans here. Oh, it's so good to be in paradise. And then Yahweh walks in the cool day. Whoa, look busy. And it could have been that they had the same idea as us. And then here comes a serpent and goes, hey, did Elohim really say this? And then he goes, If you did eat of this fruit, because Yahweh said of all the trees, there's two things. You can eat of the tree of life and what happens. And then there's another tree, don't eat. The blessings and the cursings. The blessings and the cursings. And Yahweh gave them a choice. And what did they choose?
Cursing.
They chose the cursings. And what happened when they chose the cursings?
Yeah, kicked out.
And what did Yahweh tell them? You have chosen to live like a beast. You've chosen not to live like an Elohim. And now you're going to die like a beast. The choice was given to Adam and Eve. You can live like an Elohim forever. And as Yahweh died, No. Has Yehoshua died since he's been resurrected? No. Adam and Eve could have lived forever, but they chose to live like an animal, like a beast. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And that's what I think it was Edersheimer Bollinger said. It was the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. The fruit looked good. The fruit tasted good. The lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. And then she gave it to Adam. And then Adam, because of peer pressure of his wife, he caved too. He bowed down too. And what happened? They created a whole other generation of a human race that were not in the image of Elohim, but they're in the image of Adam. And now that's why we have this war inside of us. Adam and Eve, the purpose of this life was the reason why we're in it. Adam and Eve had a choice. They could have lived like Elohims forever, and we would have been born in paradise. Right? But they chose to live like beasts. Why? Well, probably for the same reason that you and I would have done the same thing. Is working seem like living like an Elohim, like a god? No. And I look at that. There was an episode in Superman. There's something that really chimes our hearts. Superman, there was an episode where he got to choose with the kryptonite to be like a man. Or they brought kryptonite and made him a man. He almost died. And then in Lord of the Rings, there was an elf where she gave her necklace to the king. She could do it and she could fall in love with him, but then what's going to happen to her? She's not going to live forever. She'll eventually die. Or I think that's what it was. No, I think it was different. There's other ones where mermaids or these other things, where we see this where somebody comes down and they choose to live a mortal life. That's what Adam and Eve did. They chose to live like a beast. Why? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And so, nothing's really changed. Now we look at, okay, now we go back to, that was the first Adam. Who's the second Adam?
Yahushua.
Now we look at him. He is the image of Yahweh. Everything he said, I don't do anything or say anything unless my Father tells me to do it or say it. Right? Okay. And was he a hard worker? There's never been anything like him. And guess who he looked just like? His dad. His dad who's never stopped working. And what's required of us to understand how much we were being outworked by Yahweh and His Son, it requires what?
Faith.
And the faith is the relationship. Yahweh's outworked everyone. He didn't take breaks. He's given more than any one of us. And He asks us to give something and we're, I just got this. He's like, man, don't. And then we get to look at His Son and what His Son did. And that's the image of Yahweh. Did Yahushua, did He sweat? Do you think He got splinters? Do you think He got picked on at school for being righteous? Do you think, it said He went through everything we went through. Do you think He had desires to have kids? Did Yahweh want kids? And grandkids? Now, Yahushua is in His image. Do you think He wanted kids? He couldn't have kids. He had all these desires. He was picked on, so we can go through it. But that is the image of an Elohim. So when we look at our life and to choose life or choose death, we got to fix our stinking thinking. To say, do you know what success is? Do you know what is? Do you know what paradise is? Work. Do you want to know what will make you more fulfilled and satisfied than anything? Working the purpose that Yahweh designed you for. Your gifts to glorify Him. Is a duck happy in water? Swimming? Yeah, it's work. And so it's the same thing. We have to fix our thinking. Here's a neat thing. But I believe the adversary in Genesis 3, he fell before Adam and Eve. And I probably believe it was the same thing. He wanted to be worshipped. Oh, worship me! And he goes, and he had no idea. Well, I mean, I'm speculating. But it could have been that he was like, man, you didn't see Yahweh doing anything. He's doing all the work. And look what he did. He fell. You ever heard a story of somebody who made a horrible mistake? Now they're living with it. Now they talk to other people in the same thing? Yeah. So here's the adversary. He talked them into doing the same thing. You see, so the adversary preyed on their feelings, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And guess what? That same adversary's got a really good friend that knows you. And do you know where that friend lives? Right in there. He's inside of us. It's the genetics that we inherited from Adam and Eve. And do we listen to him? Does he tell the truth? No. Does Jesus Christ tell the truth?
Yes.
Yes. Is telling the truth fun? Not all the time. You'll get busted. That's not fun. You'll get away with it. That's fun. Yeah. So your adversary is going to talk you into things. This could be your old flesh, lust of the eyes, and lust of the flesh. And here's something from Strum's written in the 1700s. And my father gave this to me. I got to read this. And do you know what this did? Convicted me so much. I'll read a little bit of it. I'm almost out of time. Here he is. He said, whence is it that men in general are so indifferent about the works of God in nature? It means they don't care about all these wonderful things that are happening. The consideration of this question may rise to various important reflections. One great cause of the indifference is a habitual inattention. We are so accustomed to the beauties of nature or creation that we neglect to admire the wisdom which stamps them all. And we are not sufficiently grateful for the numerous advantages which we derive them. And here's where the rub. There are too many people who resemble the stupid beasts which feed upon the grass of the meadows and quench his thirst in the streams without acknowledging the wisdom of him from whom these benefits proceed. And he goes on to say, people are choosing to live like what?
Yes.
Beasts. Where did the sun come from? Where is all this gas that's being burnt? Holy moly! We're surrounded with Yahweh's stuff everywhere. And it wasn't until I read that, I go, I'm choosing to live like a beast too, until my father gave me this book. And it's talking about caterpillars, and it's talking about colors and music. And Yahweh's everywhere. And he goes, it is up to us to choose to not live like a beast, to say, why does this work this way? Look at this. How come a flower knows when to open and when to close? How do butterflies know how to fly when they come out of the cocoon? How come a bird doesn't lay their eggs until the nest is made? It's not trial and error at first. Whoops, that didn't work. The eggs roll off. No, what are the odds? How come salmon, they're laid, they swim out in the fresh water, they swim out to the oceans, and then when they mature, they swim all the way upstream to lay their eggs again. How do they know that? It's by design, is the answer. Yahweh designed them. What is Yahweh doing? He's trying to get our attention. Live like an Elohim. He surrounds us with all kinds of things. What is an Elohim? What was Adam and Eve supposed to be doing when they're naming all this stuff? Hey, why does it do that? Hey, what's that? Hey, what is this thing? Can you imagine they're looking at all these animals, naming them, then they ran into a platypus? Eve, get on this thing! What is this? I don't know. It's not a mammal. Maybe it's got memories. It's got little nipples. You get a little, you get platypus milk. It lays an egg. What is this thing? What do you think Adam and Eve's job was? To study the creation. These plants over here aren't working. What do we got to do here, Eve? And here's ducks, and here's these things, and here's all these funny things, and here's aardvarks, and how do they do this? And there was this study Yahweh's work. It's what you and I were designed to do. It's the purpose of our life. And to find our gift. What do you do better than anybody else, and you don't have to be told to do it? Jokes, possibly. Leadership. Leadership roles, teaching, leading, diving in the Word. Whatever it is He's given to you, give it back to Him and then seek Him out. I will not live like a beast today. I want to see everything you have. This is what Adam and Eve were designed for. And do you know who probably was the biggest daydreamer, at least that would be my words, than anybody else? It would have been Yahushua. Because who's going to teach him about all this stuff? The people at his time were teaching the doctrines of men living like beasts. So he has to go walk out. Why does a duck do this? Look at this thing. This thing is crazy. Quack, 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 quack. Look at snakes. How come people don't like snakes? Here's Yahushua probably catching animals, looking at these things, studying them in his free time. What is this? This is what he was designed to do. It's what you were designed to do. Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The fullness of the whole earth is his glory. It is our job to seek him out. It is the glory of Elohim to what? Conceal a matter. And I think it's the riches of kings to search him out. Yahweh hides things for us. He is perfect. He has never stopped working. You're never going to outwork him. He's working harder than all of us. That it's up to us to choose to live like a beast. If you get a chance, read the rest of this. And he talks about, and he goes in to say, even the most brilliant minds choose to ignore all of this. Why? Because it doesn't benefit their pleasures. They're not going to study something unless it benefits their pleasures. Why would I study about berries? I'm a football player. I play football. And you go, they're choosing to live like a beast. And so Yahweh put desires in your heart, and he goes out here, here's doctors denying the Creator. Can you have, do you have any idea how much more doctors would learn if they'd get down on their knees like Ben Carson? You could talk to the designer of the brain. Do you think that'd be an advantage?
Yeah.
It'd be a big advantage. So you read the rest of that, and you say, we were designed to reign like Elohims. That's what you were designed to do. We have an old man in us, and we have a new man. We're supposed to kill the old man every day. You wake up in the mirror, you look in the mirror, you say, you're a dead man. Yeah. And you look at your old man that's inside you, it's the one that tells you to do things you're not supposed to do. It's the one that tells you to mouth off. It's the one that tells you to steal food. That's what I do when I was your guy's age, sneaking up at night. It tells you, oh, you'll be satisfied. He's always getting you in trouble. He's always lying. You kill the old man. You kill him and you kill him, and you should feed the new man. We were designed to reign. Yehoshua, we talked about him. I talked about him outworking all of us. Nobody sweated like him. Before the cross, that guy would have been incredible. What kind of carpenter? Studying the Word. Studying butterflies. Looking at flowers. Hey, Mom, take a look at this. And everybody's like, you are way over our head. We don't even know what you're talking about. Look at all this stuff. I can imagine Yehoshua having his own little laboratory. Why? That's what we're designed to do. And we look at that and we go, okay, what are some other things of the benefits of being an Elohim? Yehoshua. He did some pretty cool stuff. If you choose to live like an Elohim, what happens? Who had more joy than anybody that's ever lived on this planet? It would have been him. Because there's no more joy than fellowship with Yahweh. Who had more laughter? Who took care of their family better than anybody? He died for his mom's sins. He's going to get to see her again. Isn't that pretty neat? He walked on water. Yahweh gave him some excellent best friends. And Peter would have died for him, just like he said. You think that struck a chord with Yehoshua? He's healing all these people. Oh, Hosanna, Hosanna! Oh, he's nuts. After they got what they wanted, like living like beasts, they ditched him. In my opinion, then here's Peter. He's the only one that sliced somebody's ear off. And you think I blessed him? Man, I got some good friends. I can't wait to get this thing over again. I'm going to come back and talk to Peter. And so we look at... we're supposed to reign like an Elohim. We choose whether we reign or not with the choices that are before us. The blessings of Yahweh are the cursings. And we choose whether to feed our old man by the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. And trust me, guys, it doesn't get any easier when you get older. When I was your age, I thought adults had it easy. You know what? It's harder. But if you exercise, you get good at beating your old man up. You get really good at it. It's like a dog's well disciplined. You ever seen a police dog? You're well disciplined. That's what you do. You have to live with that dog. You'll be a police dog for the rest of my life. You're the less the eyes and less the flesh are going to get harder if you don't start beating them now. And we choose whether are we going to feed the new man inside of us. Can you imagine somebody starving a kitten to death or a puppy to death by not feeding it knowingly? And you went to their house. They had one fat dog that they fed all the time. That was bad, and then the good dog they never fed. Would that bother you? We choose whether Christ is starved every day. If we read the Word, He is fed. If we obey the commandments, the new man is fed. If we speak in tongues, He is fed. If we feed the lust of the flesh, He starves. Each day. He doesn't die. But can you see an emaciated Christ? I don't want to do that. We got to feed Him. And so... And you look at it, they looked at Yehoshua and they said, who is this man that even the winds submit to him? So death and life and cursing are set before us. And our objective is, if you choose to live like an Elohim, guess what's going to happen? People are going to start seeing you walking on water. People are going to start seeing you raise the dead. They're already seeing it right now. They're seeing you guys speak in tongues and interpret. And people are falling out of their chair. Do you know that? You guys are changing people's lives all around the world. What? Kids can do this? Holy moly, they all got the gifts is what they're thinking because the doctrines of men. The same thing happened with Jesus Christ because they didn't teach the Word, they taught the doctrines of men. How could He do these things when He's messing? All the Pharisees and Sadducees said He's from Satan. Yeah, He's from Satan. He's breaking all of our doctrines. The thing is also with the old man is a liar. And if you think you give in to the lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh, it feels like he'll be okay, right? He won't be hungry anymore, right? If we steal something. He didn't say, hey, if you steal this, I'm never going to leave you alone about stealing. No, he just says, steal it. That's all you need, right? Or lie, just this one time, right? But think of it, him as a fire. Can you control a fire if you keep putting logs in it? Is a fire ever going to say no more? No. Your old man is a fire. And every time you submit to him, guess what happens to that fire? It gets bigger. And the bigger the fire gets, is it easier to control? No. And you'll see some people who've lost complete control. And it usually devours them, even believers. It's really sad. You see them die. And so what we are to do is we are to say, don't feed the fire. If we see people feeding the fire, we should in a loving way say, you got to quit doing that. You're going to kill yourself. Well, no, they say this, they say, what is the wages of sin?
Death.
Sin is death. I don't care what your justification is. Sodom and Gomorrah, what happens in Sodom and Gomorrah stays in Sodom and Gomorrah is what they thought. Here's another thing. They say, do people go to Las Vegas to live like Elohims or like beasts? It's a carnival. It's a flesh. And you see there's horrible things that happen in those areas. So I guess I'll kind of just wrap up with that. So the idea each day, the purpose of this life, Adam and Eve were given a choice. You can live like Yahweh. It's kind of like it's neat. You see somebody's dog or even mom and dad's cat. It'll run out, has disobedience, but it wants back in. Isn't that neat? The cat's never left this house. This is their whole earth. It's 3,000 square feet of earth. And you're like, isn't that neat? The animals choose to be here. Or you hear these stories about somebody raising an orphan a goose and it comes back and visits them. Isn't that beautiful? Yahweh gave his children. It's your choice. And what's the purpose of the Garden of Eden? It's the perfect earth. The one that's coming, where everybody that's going to be there chooses to be there. Everybody that's going to be there says, I don't want the lust of the flesh. I want to be delivered of this thing. I don't want these things. I want to worship and obey you. So this whole life between the first Adam and Eve, Christ is the diameter of the ages, is bringing us to here, and this life is this long. That's it. Christ can come back tonight. And the more you live like an Elohim, the greater your rewards will be in paradise. And if you can't prove to live like an Elohim here, how are you going to live like an Elohim there? Probably very little. I don't exactly know how it works. But you can see some people like John G. Lake. What was he living like? Not living like a man. Alexander Dowie, was that living like a beast? I mean, when we talk about the greater parts. How about Smith Wigglesworth? Is that a beast? Do animals raise people from the dead? No, animals can't do that. Beasts can't do that, can't. And so they're living like an Elohim. And so this life is an audition for where we're going. So if you choose to live like an Elohim, to live like Christ, and to get rid of this idea that we should be sitting in a throne somewhere, and get an idea that Jesus Christ was the image of Yahweh, and Yahweh's outworking all of us, and we'll be rewarded for all this. But okay, I'll do a prayer, and then we'll hear from Father. Well, I guess I'll do a prophecy first. Well, I thank you, Father, for these words we're about ready to hear. Thank you for these kids. What an honor that Izzy and Shauna and my mom and dad have done with, and also with my son. We thank that what an honor it is to introduce your children to you. And to ask you what your will is, and to show us our children how to take the fight to the old man, to kill him, to nail him to the cross. Because Jesus Christ was tempted too, because Satan came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, do this. Which reminds us that temptation is not sin. Because Jesus Christ was tempted when he chose to live like an Elohim. We thank you, Father, for these things. Do not be distracted. And don't let other people distract you from what your calling is. Every believer has a compass inside their heart. It's a map. It's a GPS. And it communicates perfectly to your heart and to your brain. It doesn't tell you the whole life laid out. That wouldn't require faith. But it says, come with me. I'll make you a fisher of men. He gives you just a little bit each day. And you know the people in your life that are holding you back. And the fear that you have is brought by your old man and the lust of the flesh that tells you that if you don't give to them, you're going to lose them. But Christ inside you says, come with me. I'll show you the purpose of your life. There is no satisfaction like the satisfaction that Christ gives you. There is no hangover with his satisfaction. There is no buyer's remorse. You'll be exalted and set on high with joy. A beautiful fountain of joy, laughter, and rejoicement. If you come and choose Christ, choose the path of the resistance that He's called you to, He'll make you strong enough to go through all these things. Thank you, Father, for all these things.